Something here, short, I was going to read it and want to tell you a little bit how I discovered it. I used to go very regularly to the Bhaktivedanta archives in America. It was one of my favorite places to go. Because it was in that place where everything was being preserved, everything that Srila Prabhupada, all the letters he had written, all the papers, books, the original manuscripts, photos. Everything was gathered and kept in one place. Of course, not always everybody was so eager to give up their personal letters that they received from
Prabhupada.
But it was a regular part of my travel in America to go to the archives and just go through things.
Of course,
I mean, photos and all the different dates when I was with Prabhupada, because I never found a picture of myself with Prabhupada.
Vagy hogy néztem azokat a képeket, amik akkor készültek, amikor Srila Prabhupada volt. Mert nincsen, nem találtunk is olyan képet, ami én is rajta vagyok Prabhupada.
I remember being next to him. Nobody seemed to snap a picture. My first time seeing him was actually at a press conference that he had given at LaGuardia Airport. And I remember the first experience I had when I saw Srila Prabhupada, it was so overwhelming. I mean, that the way things were back then is that I was already in the movement for 2 years. I had first and second initiation. But I never physically saw Srila
Prabhupada.
Typically people ask me, when did you first meet Srila Prabhupada? Where did you first meet him? And I said I first met Srila Prabhupada in the bookstore. And questions oftentimes people ask, what was Prabhupada doing in the bookstore? And my usual response was, when he was sitting on a bookshelf. Because that was my first meeting with Prabhupada. I'd like to tell that story because it really gives a certain impression, you know, that I met Prabhupada first time when I got Bhagavad Gita as it is. And I was oftentimes with, I spent a lot of my time dabbling with Eastern philosophy. And I was the kind of person that I would read an Eastern philosophy book and it would become my philosophy until I read the next book. Back then in the 60s and early 70s, there was Paramahamsa Yogananda, Baba Ram Das, Stephen Gaskin, all these different philosophers. But when I finally got Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, it was something that really changed my life. So I try find it's very, very important to express that my first meeting with Prabhupada was in the bookstore, because that means that Prabhupada is accessible to anybody. So the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada was actually in
1975.
I had been in the movement for 2 years, and I said I was already first initiated, second initiated.
És ahogy mondtam, már mozgalomban voltam 2 éve, és volt első és második avatásom.
I was at Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja in 1973 in New Vrindavan.
És ott voltam Prabhupada Vyasa Puja in 73-ban új Vrindavanban.
What was that? Was the year after Prabhupada was physically there.
De azután az év után volt, amikor Prabhupada fizikailag is ott volt.
So it was there I saw Prabhupada moving for the first time. Because they showed videos of Prabhupada's visit in 1972,
Vyasa Puja.
So, but when I met him in 1975, you can imagine, the first time seeing him, it was very overwhelming. I fell on the ground at the airport.
De képzelhetitek, hogy ilyen volt 1975-ben, amikor először megpillantottam, hogy nagyon különleges élmény volt, és elborultam.
Doesn't sound too sentimental, but I cried.
Nem akarok túl szentimentálisnak hangzani, de sírtam.
In fact, what happened was, when I arrived at the airport, Prabhupada.
Amikor megérkeztem Erettére, nem tudtam, hogy fogok találkozni Prabhupada.
The temple president, we were building an altar for Prabhupada's visit in
1975.
And the temple president told me that we have to go down to New York and get some marble for the altar that's coming in for shipment. And as we were getting closer to New York, I was wondering why we were going to the airport, and I asked them, well, is the marble coming in at the airport? And he said, actually, I lied. We're not going to get the marble. He said, Prabhupada's coming today at the airport. And I had never seen him, and I was working so hard to prepare his quarters in Boston.
Sosem láttam még őt, de nagyon keményen dolgoztam, hogy az utasításra eleget tegyek Bostonban.
So we went to the gate where Prabhupada was scheduled to arrive.
Mentünk a kapuhoz, ahol Prabhupádat vártuk.
And we were the only ones at the gate.
És csak mi voltunk ott.
And was thinking, the president and myself, we were thinking, where is everybody?
A president is én dolgoztunk, hogy hát hol van mindenki.
The flight is arriving soon and nobody's here.
Hamarosan jön Prabhupád repülni, és nincs senki.
We don't even have a garden. We're the ones that are going to be grieving. And then all of a sudden, one of the sannyasis came in. He said, what are you two doing in here? And it came to the big
Prabhupada.
Go downstairs with the rest of everyone else who's waiting for him
down
there. We're meeting Prabhupada. So we had to go downstairs to the place where Prabhupada was scheduled to arrive. And we were waiting for Prabhupada to come down the escalator. And everybody from the flight came down the escalator and there was no Prabhupada. So we started to wonder, did Prabhupada make it on the flight? There are hundreds of devotees there in the baggage claim management area, the huge kirtan. And we were waiting and waiting and waiting, and no Prabhupada. And all of a sudden one devotee said, look! There's Prabhupada coming down the other escalator. And it was like a swarm of bees. We just were jumping over the baggage belts and running, and Kirtan just moved down to the end of the terminal because we saw Prabhupada.
Úgy látunk át ezeken a futószalagokon, ami jönnek a csomagok, és mindenki szállat az a helyet Prabhupada.
And that was the first time I saw him, so I just fell on the ground and offered my obeisances and started crying. I didn't think that a person could manifest such a beautiful form in this material world. He was golden complexion. And he walks like such a regal person with his cane. And then we all followed him upstairs for a press conference. Prabhupada had said something very controversial just before that press conference when he was talking about the woman should be dependent upon a man.
And
he was being interviewed by a woman reporter at that press conference. And she heard that something Prabhupada had said about that, and she was asking kind of challenging questions. And I was trying to get close so I could hear what Prabhupada was saying, but all I could hear was, Prabhupada was defeating the interviewer by emphasizing his points that he had they previously emphasized. But the thing that I remembered, this is why I started to think about the story.
It's
after the best press conference, Prabhupada got up and started walking out, and somehow I was right behind Prabhupada.
És rajta tájékoztató után Prabhupád fölállt, és elkezdett menni kifelé, és láttam, hogy ott vagyok közvetlenül.
And I had this distinct experience that I was trying to run and keep up with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was walking.
És nagyon határozott emlékem, hogy én mint egy futnék Prabhupád után, hogy lépést tartsak vele, de ő csak nem kapottjába sétált.
It didn't seem that his feet were touching the ground.
És hogy nem lehetett látni, hogy a lába hozzáér a földhöz.
I was running, Prabhupada was walking. Prabhupada went up to the car and then he got in the car and drove to the temple. So when I went to the archives, I was always looking for that photo when I was running behind Prabhupada. That wasn't the only time. There were other times too when I was with Prabhupada, but still I desperately go to the archives in the hopes of trying to find someone. So one particular time I went into the archives. I wasn't looking for a photo. As I said, I used to go there and I used to look through a lot of different things. And the devotee who was managing the archives, my godmother named Manjit at the time. And he was accustomed to seeing me come to the archives, and he knew I was like a nectar fiend, nectar. Always looking for some nectar. So he said, Maharaj, I have some new nectar. I said, what is it? He said, he opened up this metal cabinet, it was locked. He opened it up with the key. And he pulled out this diary of Prabhupada's from 1966. I've got the Bali Madaran had been keeping the diary and he wasn't giving it to anybody. But he realized that he shouldn't keep it, he should turn it over to the archives. He said, I just got this yesterday from Bali Madaran. He said, this is Prabhupada's diary, look at it. So I went to take it, I said, look at it. He said, look at it. I said, what do you mean? How do I look at it? I'm taking it in my hands. He said, before you take it in your hands, if you want to look at it, you have to go in the other room and I have to lock you in the room. I've been waiting for this too long, anything could happen. So he said, do you want to look at it? I said, yes. So I went into the other room and sure, he locked the door. And I sat down at the table and I started looking through Prabhupada's diary. You know, he was making notations of, you've seen it now because there's a book of it that's been published. But then there was nothing published. This was the original diary. And I stated they are going to, from page to the next page, probably putting his expenditures in the page, and putting in his meetings with different people.
És akkor ott ültem és lakoztam egyik napról a másikra, és Prabhupád leírta, hogy ennyit költött, és kivel találkozott.
Different places he had gone.
Hova ment.
And
mondtam Rancsiknak, hogy tudnál egy papírben egy tollat, láttam valamit ebben a napokban, amit szeretném leírni.
I want to read that journal entry. I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I kept it for all the time. Of course, it's everywhere. I'm not sure she's aware of this particular journal entry.
És szeretném felolvasni ezt, amit akkor kiírtam ebből a napokban, azóta is mindig velem van, és nem tudom, hogy érzem, hogy ki ez a kis.
It's February 3rd, 1966.
1966.
Recently I was reading the Lilamrita and I asked Mukunda Maharaj this question also when I was visiting him in Australia. What was Prabhupada doing on February 3rd,
1966?
And Mukunda Maharaj couldn't really give me the answer and I thought he was somebody that probably would have it. Because she was around during those times. Another person I used to ask, who I found very, very, very informative about the early days in New York, was Brahmananda Prabhu. He was like a gold mine. Every time I got an opportunity, I would go to Brahmananda and ask him questions about the early days. And he was always so happy just to talk about New York
1966.
But looking at the Lilamrita, the best I can understand it, it's February 3rd, 1966, when Prabhupada was on the upstairs in the 72 Second Avenue. Where was Dr. Mishra's place? No, it was Dr. Mishra's place. Not the place that was upstate, but when he first went to his ashram, was uptown, New York, right? Yeah.
New York, when Dr. Mishra's place lakott a Prabhupada.
And Prabhupada was staying sometimes with Dr. Mishra. In his ashram. And there was some difficulties they were having there. Prabhupada didn't appreciate some of the things that he was saying from an impersonal point of view. So eventually he moved out of there and he moved upstairs into another room. And in that room it was a very narrow, thin room. Described like a train car. There were no windows there. This was the window on the door and a little vent above the door. And Prabhupada was living in there. But sometimes, yeah, but there was no sink, there was no nothing in there, it was just a room. All he had is his trunk, his typewriter, and his tape recorder. And people used to come up sometimes and they would visit him. Prabhupada would sit down, anybody who came would sit down and talk to him.
És bárki is jött, Prabhupád leült és beszélgetett velük.
He was so accessible to them.
Nagyon elérhetővé tette magát.
But one time, I think the janitor told Prabhupád that it looks like somebody broke into your room.
Egyszer
taking some things from your room.
Egyszer a gondok mondta Prabhupádnak, hogy úgy tűnik, hogy valaki betört és elvitt valamit a szobákból.
And the things that he had in the room was his tape recorder and his typewriter. And Prabhupada suspected that it was the janitor. But he didn't want to say anything. But he had this tape recorder there. And sometimes he would sit down with a few people and he would chant with them. In that little room. And this was February 3rd, 1966. And Prabhupada wrote in his journal entry. See, today there was a very nice demonstration of tape recording. Thakur Sankirtan Bandi.
Van egy nagyon szép előadása volt a Sankirtannak, amit felvettem.
No. Felvelés Sankirtan. Hogy a felvelés a Sankirtan. Nem úgy
Sankirtan. Felvételt készített, ahogy Prabhupád énekel.
Nem felvételt készített Sankirtanról, hanem az, hogy felvett, az a Sankirtan. Az, hogy felvételt csinált. Az a
Tehát, hogy a Srila Prabhupád készített egy hangfelvételt, ami Sankirtan volt. Tehát, hogy ő maga felvette saját magát, és az volt a Sankirtan.
Igen, ő azt mondta, hogy használni a felvételgépet, az Sankirtan. He's got a check.
And he says, it is all grace of Sri Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu.
Srila Haridas Thakur said, that the transcendental sound of Harinam would even purify the heart of birds and beasts.
Hogy a Harinám transzendentális hangja még a vadállatokat és a madarakat is megtisztítja, az ő szívüket is megtisztítja.
Today the statement of Thakur Haridas is corroborated.
Ma Haridas Thakurnak ezt a kijelentését megerősítését.
These Americans cannot understand even the words meaning of the Sankirtan.
Ezek az amerikaiak még a Sankirtan szó jelentését sem érti.
And yet they were so much attracted.
De mégis annyira vonzottak.
It is all Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's power.
Ez mind Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hatalma.
There is no credit for me.
Engem nem illetkedem.
When I read this, I was overwhelmed. It was just, I was really getting a glimpse of a pure devotee.
Amikor ezt olvastam, annyira elégözött így, tényleg így.
What he must have been experiencing to write something like that in his journal entry. He was struggling. That's one of the things that we begin to realize when Prabhupada was really struggling, great difficulties he had to endure to fulfill the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta.
Ezt láttuk, hogy Prabhupádnak mennyi nehézséget kellett vállalni azért, hogy beteljesítse Bhakti Siddhantának a
vágyát. So many stories about his troubles.
Annyi történet van a nehézségeiről.
I just wanted to share this one quote with you.
Meg akartam osztani veletek ezt az idézetet.
I could talk more, but I don't want to take too much time, because obviously I'm sure we'll have a lot of stories to tell.
Beszélhetnék többet, de nem akarok túl sok időt elvenni, biztos, hogy
mindenki. I've been given the privilege to speak today, because one of Prabhupada's disciples. That's the only thing that I have to my credit is I happened to be on in the movement that Prabhupada was there. I had the great fortune to see him, to hear from him, to walk behind him, to see his glance. I remember the same year in 1975 I saw Srila
Prabhupada.
I went to a Rathayatra festival in Philadelphia. And naturally there were a lot of devotees there because Prabhupada was there. And we had to stay someplace across the river, far away. And somehow we couldn't get to Srimad Bhagavatam class in time. Prabhupada was giving us Woodlawn Avenue, I think it was the temple there. It was a small house. And the whole group of us, the boss and temple, there were about 30 or 40 of us that came down to see Prabhupada. And when we went in for Bhagavatam class, everybody was in the temple room, and the temple room was packed.
És amikor bementünk a Bhagavatam leckére, akkor mindenki ott volt a templom szobában, mint el volt.
The devotee who was standing by the door started about 40 of us came in, and knew we weren't going to be able to fit.
És a bakta, aki az ajtóban állt, látta, hogy megérkeztünk 40-en, és látta, hogy nem fogunk beférni.
So he just, from behind him, he kind of just closed the door.
És akkor csak így behajtotta az ajtót maga mögött.
And we were all standing out there just crestfallen, our hearts just fell into our stomachs.
És mi meg ott álltunk kint, és a szívünk a gyomrunkba hullott.
And the thought that we're going to be able, I'm going to be able to get to class. But then somehow Prabhupada told the devotee, there are devotees out there, and he said, open, open the door. And he said, let them come in. So I was a little bit rambunctious, I could say, and I moved very quickly to try to get in and get as close to Prabhupada as possible.
És akkor próbáltam nagyon gyorsan besugrani, hogy minél közelebb tudjak kerülni Prabhupádhoz.
And I got one of those glances.
És akkor egy rám pillantott Prabhupád.
The glance that paralyzes you.
Egy olyan pillantás volt, ami megdémít.
The glance of the pure devotee who looks into your eyes and the only thing you can do is look down because you're so embarrassed that you exist.
A bakta, aki a szemembe néz, és hirtelen lenézel, mert annyira szégyeled magad, hogy létezel.
That was the kind of impact that glance had on me. It was impenetrable.
Ilyen hatással volt, egy nagyon látható volt Prabhupádnak a pillantása.
These are a few of my memories. Of, I mean, there's more, but I'm sure other devotees describe wonderful things about their experiences with Prabhupada.
Ez néhány emlékem, biztos vagyok benne, hogy sokan fognak csodálatos élményekről beszélni Srila
Prabhupada. But my credit is I was there.
De nekem ez az érdelem, hogy ott voltam.
Somehow I was there.
Valahogy ott voltam.
Somehow I saw him, heard from him, and got his Bhagavad Gita as it is in the bookstore.
Valahogy láttam, hallottam tőle, és megkaptam a könyvesboltban a Bhagavad Gita úgy, ahogy van.
And now I have an eternal debt.
És most örökké adósa vagyok.
That they can never be paid back.
Annyira adósa, hogy sose fogom tudni visszafizetni.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to say a few words.
Köszönöm szépen, hogy megkaptam a lehetőséget, hogy mondjak egy pár szót.
And, who's next?
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.